Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
afternoon. Show 1411. Welcome, as it's time to get down at the Stir Fry for 2+ hours of good food for thought, courtesy of your loving mad scientists and crew here at Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network as they are on assignment hither and yon. You'll holler at them when they check in. Of course, Radio Reggie in Richmond, Vicki Hampton Sr. in Detroit, Mike Roberson in Oakland, California, Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, holding things down in Western New York, the Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic, Cheryl Jones in Philadelphia, and, of course, my man Big G, who is also on assignment right now. When everybody checks in, we'll let you know. So there's a lot of stuff going on this Saturday, guys. A hot Olympic mess, for real, with the USA team. And, well, let's just say other issues of gender bending involving the National Football League. But we begin, ironically, we begin with a combination of something that's been talked about in the show consistently over the last 2-3 episodes. And it has to do with what was going to happen after July 1st and the name, image, and license agreement would be in effect. Well, thanks to Black Enterprise, we got one good answer, and it happens to be from the hand of our brother and colleague, Eric Satterwhite, who passed this intel on. My brother T-Mac is in the house. T-Mac, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, and by the way, that's not the only one for our HBCUs.
Right on. Well, I take it you got the same stuff from Eric, so we just jump right into it. Apparently, Percy Miller, who is the son of Percy Miller, who is also known as Master P, has completed a $2 million deal for branding purposes. Now, he's a basketball player and a straight-A student to boot, according to Black Enterprise. Once the date passed, after the magical July 1, he put his John Henry down. Apparently, the incoming TSU freshman will immediately capitalize off the newly changed NCAA rules by becoming a brand ambassador for Web Apps America. This is according to a Knoxville news station. And in addition to that, Master P had given everybody advance notice that the deal was waiting in the wings once the ruling was down in favor of athletes profiting from their own image. So essentially, Tony, this sounds like they were able to make their own deal regarding whatever the market would bear.
Mm-hmm. And there's also, just to piggyback on that, there's a couple of Jackson State players that have signed contracts. And now very quiet – well, not, I shouldn't say quietly, but Grambling State has just hired a on the first of the month – just hired a new director of athletics. So apparently there are other deals with some of the other schools in the SWAC. Apparently, I think there's a couple pending with the CIAA. So basically, since the 1st of July, some of the, you know, not all, but some of the schools are literally and figuratively hitting the ground running. And it's good. And what's so funny is you've got some of these other folks, you know, friends of mine that say, oh, this is the end of college athletics as we know. And I'm like, stop it. Stop it already.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the end of indentured servitude, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I'm like, really? I mean, end of the day, all this does is just bring to open what's been going on for years behind closed doors.
Yes.
I mean, let's you know, it is always so funny to me how folks, when we live in this information society, folks are as dumb as two rocks. And I expect a call and an email from the Rock Defamation League after saying that as well.
Yeah.
But it's you know, really? I mean, now here's the thing I want to see. Now your boy, you know, Dabo Sweeney said he would quit as a coach if players became, you know. Okay, Dabo, we waiting, bro. We waiting.
Yeah, sign that motherfucker.
Waiting.
I hear
don't
sign.
Let the
greedy motherfucking university.
Don't let that orange and blue door hit you on the ass on the way out.
Yeah.
It's
four P's.
He couldn't. We'll see. He couldn't evoke Dr. King for this one this time. So I guess that's why. You know. But now he'll come up. You know, I mean, even Nick Satan. I mean, Saban is hasn't really, you know. I mean, he ain't crazy about it, but at least he didn't, you know, take it to the damn extremes. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's long. I mean, look, this is long overdue. I mean, and the fact that folks want to use, because see, well, you know what? Here's the thing. The reason why I think a lot of folks, because let's face it, a lot of black athletes are going to benefit because of this. That's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to be playing for the love of the game. Hey, they're supposed to be cashed. Hey. They're supposed to be cashing those 2021. They're supposed to be cashing those 2021 checks while they try to use those 1938 values.
Yeah, you got that shit right. You know, it's funny. We spoke on this a few times, but considering the timing of it all, had this happened around the time of SMU and their gradual aggressive moves to stock talent and become a power in the Southwestern Conference, which is no longer in existence, you know, this would have been simply the price of doing business. There wouldn't have been any death penalty. There wouldn't have been anything else. It would have been, well, the arms race has just escalated. And,
yeah, I mean,
you know, again,
it's funny, and every time I see, you know, the, what was it, Pony Excess, it's, you know, when looking back, it's like, so basically Texas, you know, Texas and Texas A&M just basically whined. And that's
like
how, because they got beat at their own game, basically.
Exactly.
Now, to bring it up more towards now, it's slowly playing itself out. It's going to be a boon to the quote unquote mid majors, the smaller schools.
Yes,
now let's be clear. The big boys are going to do their deals. They still have, because remember, most of them have. Look, most of them already got lucrative stuff anyway, either on their own or through the conference.
Right.
You know,
it's all about methodology.
Well, see, the trickle down theory does work in certain parts of in regards to the four families. That's the reason why you have Maryland and Rutgers in the Big Ten.
Yep, that's true.
That's the reason why you have and you know, the funny thing is, in many ways, you know what really was the emphasis for this finally to come through, even though it happened almost 15, 20 years ago? The conferences of jamborees, when teams were leaving, you know, when the Big East got blown up, when the Big 12 basically replaced the aforementioned Southwest Conference, which I would still love to see, which if I'm an old Southwest Conference person, I might be like, we need to get the band back together.
The band, yes.
I would, I mean, seriously, they need, you know, I would, because of McAfee, what they could do now, they could literally say, okay, we're getting the entire Southwest Conference back together. We're going to get
yes.
a lucrative TV. We're going to get, and you know, mm-hmm. at some point, somebody's going to, they may get a lucrative TV and other stuff deal before
exactly.
them ink dries on the agreement. But no, this is,
yep.
now, look, again, the big boys are still going to do their thing. This is not going to, you know, they're not going to, you know, you're not going to see Brian Kelly out in the corner of some street in South Bend saying we'll coach for food anytime soon.
No.
That's not
no,
happening.
No, we're not.
But uh-uh. now maybe the Central Floridas and
mm-hmm.
the Florida Internationals and you know,
mm-hmm.
the quote-unquote mid-majors. But also, this,
right.
you know, if it's done correctly, the HBCUs can do some stuff as well.
Mount Miller signed for is indicative of that.
And see, that's the thing. And put it this way. If I'm the MEAC, I'm trying my damnedest to get my act together so they can – because –
you better believe it.
They need to – I mean, you know, I'm not saying they need to have a Jerry Lewis telethon, mind you, but they need to – you know, they got to – if
you're
if,
right.
If they need to – something needs to break. They need – you know, they need to –
let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Who else can the MEAC draw from in terms of schools that they could add to their roster?
Well, you know, the wild card in this for so many years has been the aforementioned Tennessee State.
Mm-hmm.
Now, logistically, it probably makes more sense for them to join, say the SWAC,
mm-hmm.
you know, logistically. But see, they're not going to join. They're not going to because look,
yeah.
they've been in the OVC for so long now, and
mm-hmm.
they haven't so that's you know that. Probably never happens. I would love to hear what Eric would say about something like this, and I'm sure he would concur as well because of what has happened. But see,
mm-hmm.
the thing is now is they have to get a bell cow because not so much a bell cow, but see, yeah, because the team, the this way, take from somebody, they're going to take from like say either the CIAA or
right.
The SIAC. Now
mm-hmm.
we already now Winston had their venue, you know, Winston
right.
had their time when they did it, didn't work out well, and they dropped back. But see, I think
mm-hmm.
now that teams know what the landscape is, it might be easier. But see, the thing is, the slippery slope for the MEAC is they sort of need that like yesterday.
No
now,
shit.
They'd have no choice but to have to wait. Like I guess the 2 years or so it would take for the everything, but there's you know right now there's really no one on the horizon. I know Reggie always talks about you know Virginia State and Virginia Union, and they're
mm-hmm.
you know VSC has said on record several times that they're probably not ready to do that. You know, and it's
mm-hmm.
it's now is that to their detriment or is that to their advantage? I would say it's probably to their advantage because, again, I don't think I'm contradicting myself when I say this, you've got to get it right because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I use FAMU as a perfect example. When FAM basically went rogue, it took them almost 10 years to recover from it. Now, a lot of it had to do with the fact that they went independent and didn't join a conference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this time now with them and Bethune joining a conference, it makes the transition that much smoother. Same thing with when Hampton moved to the Big South, and now their cousins in arms, A&T, will.
Mm-hmm.
But see, a lot of it's going to have to, you know, a lot of it's going to have to do with how these schools see themselves. If they're still if they're still living in the, and God forgive me for saying this, if they're still living in the mentality of the Chitlin circuit,
yep,
then it's never going to happen. I would hope that with some of these little small deals, and yes, they're with individual players to a certain extent, but I would think mm-hmm. that, you know, look, end of the day, they want to make some dollars, you know?
Yes.
Like EPM or like EPMD. And,
well, this is the intriguing part. The $2.5 million is going to be the mark that everybody shoots for, and we know there's no way in hell everybody's going to get that. You know, that Miller was able to negotiate that, a credit to them both. But, you know, if we're talking about a team who's coming into a situation where an HBCU may be interested in them, and they sign a deal regarding branding that may escalate depending on how well the kid plays throughout his career there,
mm-hmm. well,
sliding scale.
I didn't get a chance to read Eric's the thing that Eric sent all the way. The thing I'm asking is, what's TSU's cut in this?
Well, that's just it. You know they got something, and that's the other thing that nobody has spoken on. It's not enough that the kids will be able to broker a deal, but it may be one of those one for me, one for you, two for me, one, two for me, et cetera, et cetera.
One of those Bugs Bunny deals,
Exactly.
But
if Bugs Bunny is your agent, then you know the school is going to make most of this, and the $2.5 million is a number that's just thrown out there that might be a little unrealistic for many of the young men and women who will sign likeness deals.
Well, let's put it this way. All deals – well, look, we already see that all deals are not equal with the individual schools, so you already know that it's ours that all deals are not – let's put it this way. The quarterback for the Crimson Tide, whoever he may be,
right,
is going to be able to get – is not. Let's put it this way. And take it for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
A backup goalie – for the UNC women's soccer team is not mm-hmm. going to be able to get the same deal as the, say, quarterback or lineman for the University of Tuscaloosa at Alabama.
Right.
So, and we all know that going in. But, see, again, end of the day, it's going to be about what you're, you know, now because, see, the market is going to be set. The market has yet to be set. This is all brand new territory now. Because, see, a week from now or a couple of days from now, that TSU deal, I mean, I'm sorry, the Miller deal is going to be obsolete.
Yep.
Cause again,
that's true.
It's constantly... This is going to be a constantly changing atmosphere here.
This will morph. This changes the whole plane. Okay, so now if our son, Gary Gray, is coming out of college, coming out of high school, and he's deciding on a college, what do you think that recruiter is going to do when they come by our cousin Gary's house? And Mom and Pa Gray is sitting there listening to them shooting and shitting. They'll be saying, not only will I treat him like he's my own, we'll make sure we cut a deal for him where he'll get branding rights worth X, whatever.
Well, see, it's not just an all-new world for these kids, but it's going to be an all-new world for these schools and their respective athletic departments as well. So this is literally to be continued. Stay tuned, literally and figuratively, you know, same bat time, mm-hmm. same bat channel thing, because this is going to be, let's put it this way. We're talking about this today. Next week is going to be something different. I think by the time the football season begins, and we use that as a litmus mm-hmm. because, you know, whatever, hell, by the time the Olympics are over, things could be by the time the Olympics start, because you still got 20, you know, we still got, what is it, the 23rd they start, right? Things could change between now and Monday. And see, the reason why I found it very interesting that Grambling held off on naming their new athletic director at on July 1st lets me know that they're, somebody's cooking something down there in Grambling, and it ain't tomorrow's collard greens either.
I smell sabotage in the form of Capology on campus, because now they've got to factor this money in. Now, I know everybody knows that anybody going to TSU is not going to get a $2.5 million deal. However, it is giving you a bar, and Radio Reggie's in the mix, that will allow you to say, okay, what can we do with this? And as we've always said, and you especially, Tony, if Percy Miller is getting X dollars, you better believe TSU is getting X dollars to do what they got to do.
Yeah. And see, again, this is Tennessee State. You know, so far, I haven't heard or seen anything as of yet. Again, the quote unquote five families, they're gonna do some stuff too. Because trust, as this thing keeps playing out, you're gonna hear a little bit more from some of these other schools. I really do hope. And I'm a little biased because I used to work for Winston. I hope the CIAA schools are checking this out and seeing what they can do. But really, if I'm the MEAC, I'm like, y'all, we need to. I mean, you need, you know, put this way, they've needed to, you know, get their act together anyway. But I mean, especially now, they need to. First of all,
they got to take the next plunge on this.
Put it this way. First of all, first things first, before they do anything, they've got to get another member at the very least.
Yes,
that's something that should have been done, like, you know, last year this time. And I know, again, there's a process and all that other stuff, but once they get back so that they have at least six teams so they can at least compete, then they got to literally hit the ground. Because see, with no dollars, it makes no sense for them to not do anything.
Shit. And since we got Reggie here, let's throw him into the pot. Reggie, what's going on, brother?
Deacons for Defensive Justice, thank you for all that you do. The sad thing that really saddens me, that we're supposed to have intellectuals with doctoral degrees and master's degrees in economics. And you know yourself, too, at the HBCU, a lot of people will claim to have all this wisdom, but yet, for some reason, look at sports as intramural. They look at sports as a hindrance.
Yeah. And if they're still playing that game, then all the more reason why these kids need to sign their own individual deals.
What disturbs me is that we have had the oldest conference of HBCUs being the CIAA, and they get peanuts when they come to the CIAA basketball tournament. They get peanuts. Mm-hmm. When they come to the football championship, they get peanuts. And for this conference, not to have number one hotel deal, to be the exclusive hotel to CIAA, not to have their own airlines, because your space, flying from Maryland to North Carolina is like maybe a 35-40 minute trip. And low these airfares are right now, you best believe it's a lot cheaper to fly down somewhere, load up a bus, and then go to a hotel and push come and shove, come back the same day, than basically what's going on. And I'll say real quick, and I'll just say this real quick, what really, really disturbs me again is that a lot of alumni are turned off by the schools because they're being mistreated when it comes to getting that sheepskin. I've heard so many horror stories when a Gary graduate, all of a sudden you owe us $5,000 or you owe us $2,000.
And Reg, this was even before the quote unquote crisis of student loans. This was way before that.
Thank you. I told him to bring that up. So they're holding them hostage for their degrees, Reggie?
You go to any HBCU, and I guarantee you somebody will tell you off record, probably on record, where a lot of people might even give back to the schools because they get mistreated come graduation time or some other BS. And see, you can't keep mistreating. We had a situation in former Dr. Simmons at Virginia Union where he stood in front of the camera, and one parent that came all the way down from, I think it was Michigan or either Pennsylvania, he told them they didn't have a room for their child, and he said, well, you don't like it, go back home. Said it right there on TV.
And within a year, his ass is gone.
But still, why is it that, and again, I'm not trying to be all the place, but I was just looking, just bat me for a quick second. I was watching the Bobby Brown Keith Sweat versus. And
oh, you were the guy who was watching that?
Yeah, I was the one of the guys. But, you know, the reason I was watching it, and it came to fruition, the amount of hate that was coming from the so-called audience was ridiculous. And I said the same thing I said before. It's amazing how we as black people, some of us, will go out of our way to put so much poison and hate on our own culture. But yet we wonder why the Europeans stand there and say, we ain't got to worry about them. Why should we worry about them giving their rights or protecting from the police?
Well, look,
we
look,
have to
look
really
at,
care about the damn selves.
Hey, Reg, look at all the black women that are going after Miss Richardson in regards to the whole
drug point and things. And Felicia Rashawn, man, the way they came after her was like a pack of dogs, man.
Are they censoring her? Or are they trying to
She hasn't had a job yet.
So in a sense, what happened to homegirl in UNC is somewhat happening to Miss Felicia for Howard.
Hello.
Am I wrong?
I see that makes sense.
And the only reason that they make sure they gave her tenure because the students them said, we don't like this shit going down and we're going to hit you in the pocketbook. They start seeing all them people saying, we're not going to come to your school. And look at the bottom line where COVID hit, and they said, we got to hurry up and correct this because we're losing money.
Well, it always comes back to that, doesn't it?
Somehow,
cash cow moves.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, baby. Cream, sit on top. But Reggie, to the MEAC situation, what is the likelihood now that they will aggressively go after one or two or more of the schools down in your neighborhood because they know they got to get shit together?
That boat has sails. Virginia State does not have the money. First of all, they had to put up over $1 million+ just initiation fee. They're not getting back. Second of all, you have to be on probation for 3 to 4 years. You can't even compete for a conference title.
That's crazy.
Virginia State can't. I'm just telling you what the rules are. That's what I went to sell them. They couldn't afford it. How are you going to tell these young folks to get out there and bust their ass and they can't compete for a championship? It ain't going to happen. And then the D1 schools are plucking HBCU products left and right, like Walter. I mean, that's to the two young ladies from Virginia Union, the basketball players. And one's going to A&T, another one's going to another D1 school. And they're like, we can come in and raise y'all because y'all have the finance in order to keep your students, your athletes.
Guys, as much as I hate to say this out loud, are we looking at the death of the MEAC?
Yes.
They did it to themselves.
I'm not even pretending to be impartial in that. That's exactly what you're looking at. And you know what? You can't justify mismanagement. You know, if we look at it from a strictly corporate situation, get the revenge of the nerds nonsense that some people in the organizations may have at some schools, the bottom line is you screwed yourselves. And the most telling aspect of that was when Delaware State
left a game that was a conference game to accept a $500,000 check to be somebody's whooping boy and get their ass whipped that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
That same amount of money that Delaware State made in that one game could have averaged anywhere from 20 to 25% of the conference's budget.
Mm-hmm. Well, that being said, what of those remaining? So let's just say tomorrow or sometime before the year is over with, Dr. Thomas just says, okay, we're done. We weren't able to, whatever. What of those five, six schools that are left? What do they go?
People are ready to grab them. Look, Delaware State is already there. I know for a fact that a friend of mine told me off the record that the AD at Delaware State wants to leave the HBCU. He wants to leave the MEAC.
So would they would they be in that same conference with their neighbors up the road at the University of Delaware?
It wouldn't surprise me, but it's the same problem that Hampton had that they would have. They're financially, they don't have the athletic budget in order to compete. That's why Hampton couldn't get into the Colonial District because their budget was like $25 million, and Delaware was something like 40 to 50. They laughed at Hampton. They said, "Please. Y'all can't afford to come in and being out.
Well, that makes business sense. I mean, Delaware and Delaware State would be natural rivals with each other, so that would definitely be the carrot for them to come on along and get some of this money.
So, Mike, real quick, you remember when they played some 4 or 5 years ago, Delaware State had a better record, but they moved the school to the European school because they had a better facility.
That was the stipulating that, if I remember correctly, Reg, their whole thing was, we will play you, but all the games are going to be here. They refused to go to Dover, and it was like,
and they made sure. I'm guaranteed they made sure they got the lion's share of that gate too.
Oh hell yeah! And the lion's share and the lion's share of the referees and the lion's share.
It's usually 60-40 on the gate. So, were going to do that. But even the 40 that Delaware State would get would still be significant because they're not getting anything from the other members, and they're not generating enough numbers at home to justify being able to tread water financially.
Well, again, I guess, and look, everybody's correct here in regards to the whole thing of this was if this is truly the demise of the MEAC, it was, at the end of the day, it was a self-inflicted wound because, again, I always felt like when Hampton finally just said enough is enough, we're going to leave, instead of looking at that and saying, okay, we need to get, we need to make sure that we don't lose any other schools, let's be honest.
Right.
They made an example out of Hampton. Now, again, say what you want about how you feel about Dr. Harvey and the whole situation and all the other stuff, but the fact that bear with me here. I akin it to when Jordan went to go play baseball. Instead of embracing the fact that the most identifiable athlete in the world at that time was trying to play your sport, wanted to play your sport. Instead, you mocked him. You made sure the media mocked him and all of that. And in many ways, I think that's led to baseball's, popularity dropping. That's a whole other story in and of itself. But I think that's what happened in regards to how they dealt with Hampton. Instead of embracing, they literally was like, they wouldn't shit when they was here. They ain't going to be shit when they let, instead of,
that's right.
They literally played this like the legion of ex-girlfriends and messed with them on the way out the door. And even when there was an opportunity for them to sort of pull back, they doubled down on the way out saying they messed up our whole thing. And then basically you had to know that these other schools were looking at that and saying, well, damn,
no doubt
if they do that to
Hampton. No, yeah, but seriously,
And I tell you what, when North Carolina A&T, the Golden Goose, laid the egg and said, we out of here, and went slapping the face to the Mid-South.
Even when Fam left, it was sort of like, they'll be back. You know, they played it like, you know, played it sort of like, you know, Homer leaving the plant, and then don't worry, he'll come crawling back. They'll come crawling back.
Exactly. Just say donuts, he'll be back.
And again, they'll be offended because we said it like that, but end of the day, I'll just come right out and say it. You can't blame the white man for this one.
You got that right.
He said, don't blame me. I'm looking at dogs and cents.
Mm-hmm. Reggie, hold on a second. I want to bridge the two stories that Reggie put to us here. The issue of the Olympics comparison with the deal that Master P's kid just worked through. So now we got roughly 15 days before the Olympics shows up. And on the heels of what happened here with Percy Miller, you know the five families are cranking it up. And you know the deals would be transacting faster than if you were on Wall Street, Standard & Poor's 500 stocks. They're going to go crazy with the deal.
Mike, is that a $1 bet or a $2 bet?
Oh, it's going to be up to this way. Reggie, it's going to be up to a solid $3.50.
I'm telling you, $3.50. That's exactly right. $3.50.
Put it this way.
When he brought that dollar bill, brand new Chris one, I don't know.
Put it this way. Family Dollar is already in the works of changing their corporate name. That's all I'm going to say.
It's going to be
Family 495 before
no
time is
done. Hey, look, guys, when Cracker Barrel is back in the HBCU band tournament in Texas, I'm done. When I heard Cracker Barrel was back
don't
in the black tournament,
won't.
I said,
don't
hell
think
is
they
over.
Won't.
Well, look,
don't
look,
think
look,
they
look.
Won't. Listen,
it's,
you got to go after the game.
They doing it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Please.
If it's going to make dollars, it's going to make sense.
I got to go to Cracker Barrel now. Now I got to say, hey, Cracker Barrel. Oops.
They'll be making money.
I got to retrain myself when I walk through them doors.
This way,
they'll be making money as fast as you can say whole country buffet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mike, at least, Reggie, at least so you can get your meal, do say the barrel part at the end, okay? If you want your meal.
There you go.
Hey, look. I had one bad experience at Cracker Barrel, now the family. Even the janitors was white.
You got to be nice to Cracker Barrel because our buddy Dabo has to have a job after he ceremoniously retires from his leaves Clemson, you know.
Oh, I'm sure that because his cash cow moved on down in the NFL.
Well, I'll take cash cows for 400, and the next issue with this has to do.
LeVar Burton on line two. Why didn't I get the job?
I know that's right. Well, at the hot mess Olympics.
I'm sorry,
2021.
Go ahead, Mike.
Your shots fired is appropriate because Seth Rogen spoke out about the fact that Sha'Carri Richardson, one of the best sprinters in America to run, is now going to get screwed because she tested positive for herb. Now think about that. Rogan stated in a tweet that the notion that weed is a problematic drug is treated in racism. It's insane that Team USA would add and disqualify one of its country's most talented athletes over thinking that it's rooted in hatred. It's something they should be ashamed of. Shit, if weed made you fast, I'd be Flo-Jo. And really, he hits the heart of the matter. This young lady who's got some
Lord
to her, obviously handles her business on the track.
Lord,
has been the best thing.
Lord, have mercy.
The best thing in U.S. track in a long time. And now she gets screwed out of the 100-meter, and well, I think she may be able to, she may be eligible for the relay, but they don't want her to run that feature meet, that feature event, the 100-meter.
Can I throw something in reverse? Okay, here's my issue. Okay.
Please.
Now, maybe I'm boo-boo the fool. I understand, but we're looking at testing on the Olympics from a world perspective, not necessarily United States. I don't know. I'm asking a question.
You are 100% correct, Boo Boo.
Okay, so the Olympics have different rules than what we're going to test.
Here's my answer to that.
Yeah,
Michael fucking Phelps.
Thank you,
Michael fucking Phelps.
Not like a black man with a computer that can get facts out. Oh,
well, I don't even need to go to the computer.
You need the computer.
I don't need to go to the computer for that. Are you really going to tell me that he just tested positive for one Olympics?
Thank you.
And they
Come
didn't find
now.
Out about it. And they didn't find out about well, it until afterwards. Come on now.
The bigger picture in this is that Richardson was poised to win several medals. She's that good, and she still may be able to run the relay.
Okay, now what was the situation with Michael Phelps? Because I forget.
Well, he had interest to win for marijuana as well.
But they didn't suspend him; they let him swim.
Well, the revelations didn't come out until after he had, you know, competed. But look. We all know that that's in your system for, you know, it's in your system for while. Again, I'm no doctor on TV, radio, or the internet, but I do read occasionally. So now the thing is, are you really going to try to tell me that? Because see, here's what messes up the whole thing, the timing of it.
Yeah.
If they had popped her, say, last year at this time,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, okay. But see, they literally – now one could say, well, there wasn't anything going on last year through whatever, so whatever. Okay, fair enough. But my thinking is that test, whatever test, that test has been there for a while.
Yes.
We've heard about NFL draftees or what have you. We're still trying to find the test that Warren Sapp took that came up
dirty.
You know?
Yeah.
But see,
that's
you know,
truth.
Frisway, I never thought I would, you know, agree with Seth Rogen. I'm still mad at him for his shitty Green Hornet movie, but that's another 2-hour story in and of itself.
That was an awful fucking movie.
This is rated in the scene. Here's the other thing. You guys also know about how they've banned certain headbands for the swimmers. Now remember, remember the last Olympics with the sisters out there with their headbands. You think this isn't? You really think that this isn't just a coincidence that all of this stuff
of course not.
Is going on? And Reg, you are correct about, you know, WADA being the world anti, you know, doping thing or whatever. But see, again, all of a sudden, now you want to get political. Because, see, remember, they want to play it both ways. They want to play it both ways. They don't want you to, you know, they want it to be a quote-unquote clean Olympics. But
you got transgender women supposed to be men lifting weights. They look like some guy that just got the gas pump. Give me a break.
It's worse than that because an inventor – who made a cap for the swimmers that specifically designed for blackhead, they actually called it the soul cap, is now been ruled illegal. Now, how the fuck are you going to legislate a sister's hair? You know, like the cap took care of black hair, and they have a problem with it because that's exactly what it did. And one of the swimmers for the Great Britain team, actually the only black swimmer that I know for the Great Britain team, she was one modeling and was X'd out of the equation. Now, they know the sisters and brothers have been rocking it in the pool lately. So it's like what's been said before. Paul Mooney might have said it in jest, but he said, once we get into something, we dominate that shit. He's right.
Yep.
And now they're
terrified.
Afraid of this shit. Exactly.
Yep.
The young lady in high school who was so curvaceous and whatnot, that it showed in a swim outfit, and the fucking judge had a fit, got the ass, and wanted to disqualify her because she fit her uniform too well. I mean, really?
Are you kidding me?
Fucking
oh, yeah.
Off the wall bullshit. Yeah, this is real talk.
So how did they shut his ass down? And look, his pervert ass. That was his pervert ass problem. Looking at her getting the hard on.
They didn't. They just got exposed because the story got exposed. But it still comes back to the fact that this Olympics, nobody's talking about that Fukushima still is fucking destructive as far as the environment is concerned. I wouldn't be swimming in that motherfucker's water. Anybody else with any common sense shouldn't be. But, of course, we know they're going to set all of this aside, NBC and its $10 billion contract for the next four Olympic Games is in jeopardy.
What about the
so
overseas money, Mike? Hey, Mike, you said overseas. What about the overseas money they're getting from those networks? Oh, my
that's
God.
That's right. This is just NBC's cut. Everybody else got a stake in it. Don't think that Murdoch Sky Sports ain't thinking about that or anybody else down there, Australia Number 7 Network, or any other state in Japan. Forget it. The Japanese are definitely going to be upset.
They said, what do you say? Turn the machines on. Turn the machines
That's
off.
That's right. Turn them off.
Get them
this is buku bucks. This is beyond buku bucks. Actually, the only thing they can guarantee on is that Simone Biles will be there turning over or flipping on something and twisting on something. And you got to look out for the Russian judge. But the bottom line is they know that Simone is going to be one of the
she's
calling
so
cards.
Tight, even the Russian judge can't fuck this up.
Exactly. But don't think they won't
be
thinking
they
about
that. They might beat
that.
His ass on the way out the door.
Yeah, it's you know, it's and see this is the kind of stuff that just because see I'm really I've been going back and forth with the whole Olympics thing because you know we want to see you know Simone go out great we want to see the A&T folks do
well
exactly but with all the other perfunct and see the whole thing with Miss Richardson just adds to that because it's just like. It's almost like we can't have these niggas come in here and take over.
Especially
that's what they're doing, and that's definitely the vibe.
And the so-called European sports that they think. Oh, by the way, the Tampa Bay Lightning. How many brothers they got that's kicking ass on the Tampa Bay Lightning? Not changing subject.
At least three.
What they got? Two or three brothers down there.
At least three.
All of them getting playing time too, aren't they?
I'm just glad. You know, I'm happy for the Canadians. At least they'll make a couple of bucks with the two
exactly.
home games.
Their names will be on the cup.
I don't know that broom is coming out. That Zamboni is coming out.
Well, put it this way. I put it this way. Every fat woman in my neighborhood has been getting their vocal cords ready for Monday night. That's all I'm saying.
Are they goggling tea? Are they doing the stone call?
Gargling and doing the running man all at the same time.
Oh my God! I don't even want to look at that visual. God.
but seriously, back to the Olympics. Consider this: the United States knows what they did. This is not WADA. I mean, WADA had made the ruling, yes. And if they're being honest about it, the Michael Phelps ruling nullifies all that shit because they knew the boy was high. You know, they literally slapped the kid on the wrist. But now Richardson is going to pay a price because she has orange hair and she has like 6-inch fingernails. You know, it's all appearance pin. You know, if she was a fucking Barbie blonde, Barbie blonde and blue-eyed freckle, whatever the fuck it is, they'd rather, they would embrace that shit.
Oh, look at the diversity. You know, this is
well, make sure and they would make sure she'd have a Subway commercial by the time it was all over.
You damn right
well,
they would.
We know who used to own Subway, where his ass is right now.
Oh, Lord, come on. That's right. Yeah.
Little kids screaming on line two. Oh, Lord.
Look how this will affect advertising during the Olympics. You know, just like the Super Bowl, any advertising dollars will be jacked up even more. How they change that, who is there. I mean, I made the notion about Gabby a long time ago not getting her fucking Wheaties or cornflakes box because of how she performed. They wanted some little white girl to win, and when Gabby turned out to be the star of the show, I'm like, all right, so where's Gabby's flakes? You know, where's my Gabby Wheaties? I honestly looked, and there was not a flake to be found.
She had the apricot, the marketing people. They was pissed. They probably had a couple hundred thousand ready to go off the rails when she won.
There you go. Have you seen Simone's cornflakes? I haven't.
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
No.
Yeah. And she's done this 7 years in a row. She'd have had cornflakes, sugar pops, everybody and their mama on the front of the fucking
thing. Hell, no.
Mike,
she would have had her own Crispin. She would have had her own Crispin Quake at this point in time. Right?
Oh hell yeah! Shit,
hey,
Crispin Quake would have had
Afro. Sugar bear box and called it a honey bear.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
all I'm saying
is I wish they would have done that shit. That'd have been so racist. Have a honey bear, have it on the box. Talking about just a little sugar bear. Oh,
well, it
God.
Won't take
they
much.
It
won't take much. We know one event will make or break that person in terms of immediate fame. And we also know that it's likely it's going to be a black athlete because the white ones just can't measure up in this case.
Yeah,
however,
but they might as well get Bruce Jenner to come back.
However, if a white athlete does show up,
transcendent, bring in Bruce.
The first question is going to be, is he going to run as a man or a woman?
Exactly.
It depends on what lingerie he got on at the time.
No, hold on. This is something else that hasn't been. Namibia has had two of their sprinters disqualified because of testosterone. Now,
of course,
they're women. They're women. Number one, they're women. Christine Maboma and Beatrice Misilingi have been banned from all races from the 400-meter to 1600-meter due to a natural high testosterone level. Natural. This is not like she shot up with some shit. Natural. How the fuck can you disqualify somebody like that?
But who's fighting for them? That's my question. Who's fighting for them?
Nobody's fighting for them. That's the whole issue. I'm reading the article here. According to the rules of World Athletics, this means that they are not eligible to participate in events from 400-meter to 1600-meter. This is from the Namibia National Olympic Committee. It is important to understand that both our athletes were not aware of their condition. Neither did their family member, their coach, or anybody in there were aware of it. Now, Maboma had set a record for under 20 in the 400-meter. And the other sister, Miss Alingi, had also run well, and they were to be possible medal winners in the event.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to Chinese female swimmers,
if you look at them, their livers corrode within 4 or 5 years after they do Olympics, because they drug them up so much that they make them so they clean during Olympics, and then you look at them 4 or 5 years later.
Yeah, I remember that. This is natural.
Yeah, the Chinese
stuff. This isn't something they got shut up in and whatnot, and Gary's in the mix here now. So, Gary, I know you heard some of this. First of all, good afternoon. And what is your take on these Olympic people getting disqualified because of natural testosterone?
Mr. Big, what's up, G?
Well,
damn, I need to choke you up, brother. Sorry.
Okay,
what was the question again? I'm sorry.
The Namibian sprinters being disqualified for reasons that have nothing to do with them taking a drug.
It's open season. Once again, it's open season on the black athlete.
Yeah.
Male, female, or what have you. It's always funny how they always try to say, you know, we don't want to politicize stuff while we politicize stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, it's that, again.
There you go again, T, getting too intellectual, man. I can't handle it. I'm sorry.
Nah. If I'm getting intellectual, then there's something wrong with the intelligence. But that's another story in and of itself. It's like, really? Are we still playing these? We're still playing these games after all these years? And
exactly.
I'm not talking about the games on the court. I'm talking about the ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Off. Because they have. It's funny. Even though they make all sorts of disparaging remarks about, you know, Tokyo and whatever, there's other people that are pulling the strings here for this.
No doubt.
I think it's even beyond, and I think it's even beyond like NBC to an extent, because they've got the TV rights and all the other stuff, but there are some of the, again, this is one of these nameless, faceless folks behind the scenes that still have a problem with, for lack of a better word, athletes of color. Although, you know, let me stop that. Black athletes. You know, that whole athletes
thank
of color
you.
Makes it sound like.
Thank you.
makes it sound like a pair of shoes.
Yeah. Said it. That's right. They do have a problem with black athletes. And I again cry sabotage because somebody in the IOC is definitely pushing this agenda. We heard a whole year of black and Asian issues and stuff like that. Well, fuck that. Don't think Japan doesn't know what's coming its way. And what better issue to sidetrack from the fact that they're going to an area that's been somewhat compromised by a fucking earthquake where nuclear reactors have been messed up and they have their own little version of Three Mile Island and shit. Not that anybody's walking around with an extra foot growing out of their ear, but this shit is compromised.
Hey,
you waited
hey,
a whole
hey,
year.
Hey, Mike, none of us at Techwood Homes did down in Atlanta, how they ran all the people out when they built the Olympics down there. They might have them in the cave somebody coming up.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah.
This is because number one, it's to be very a year late. They can't delay another year because that would be 22, 23 going into the 24th Olympics. They don't want to do that. As with the what Tokyo has done and put themselves in a bind.
Yep.
You put them in a bind because now you're waiting for this Beijing Games with a 2 year after this.
Yep.
You got a problem.
You sure do. I got Godzilla on line one. Yeah, no joke. Because that radiation does not go away. And I know we're having fun with the sport aspect of this, but I'm talking about science now. If you think about what happened with Katrina and how the topography and landscape was changed by that, our shrimp beds and crawfish beds and stuff like that down there where my sister Jenny is changed up, how that afflicted the price of things, how sewage changed everything, how the landscape was marred by all of this and really still hasn't been fixed. You know, this was something that happened over 20 years ago.
Yeah, the Ninth Ward the Ninth Ward will never be the same ever again.
No, it's like a localized version of a nuclear disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're not going to see in Japan. They're going to see the happy faces and Hello Kitty and their mom and all that other old bullshit. Meanwhile, Rodan's on line two, ready to fly over and burn everybody's ass up because that's
well,
the atmosphere.
You know, to try to get people to understand, it may not be something where it will happen right away, but I akin it to when – remember when the Meadowlands, the old Meadowlands, original Meadowlands stadium was built,
exactly.
You know, with the Giants and Jets,
over the years,
a bunch of New York Giants, i.e., Carl Nelson, Doug Kotar,
Nelson
and
specifically,
others,
died.
They all eventually died due to cancer.
I'm glad you said that, Tony. We saw Carl Nelson, who was in lineman. He was, when healthy, somewhere in the 260, 270 range when he was playing. And he shrunk down literally to almost nothing.
Yeah.
And this was because of the toxic environment in the Meadowlands. It was a toxic waste dump at some point, and there had been illegal dumping done there, but they left it alone, and they didn't go further because there was too much stroke there between the Maras and everybody in that so-called made-up group of folks who set up the Meadowlands in the first place.
Michael, this is happening in every single city in America. Example, my town, Brighton City, New Jersey, had a waste.
Yep.
My town, Brighton City, built a condominium on that dump.
Mm. Yeah.
And people are doing that right now, today, on that dump.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We are between gentrification and these other places. It's all part of that whole thing of trying to get rid of us, and people can say, oh, that you know, y'all just being paranoid, you know.
Yeah. There's a lot of places that were built on toxic.
If they say we're being paranoid, all I got to say is January 6th. I'm not paranoid.
Yeah,
I look at January 6th. That's all I got to
mm-hmm.
say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
It's no surprise that you're going to start to see even more stuff now that this is 4th of July weekend.
That's right. Listen, all we know is from an environmentalist standpoint, this place is going to be a shithole. We also know that when they go to Japan, they're going to a potential shithole, to quote you know who, because not because of the people, but because of the damage that was done. You can't clean this shit. There's no question about that. This shit doesn't go away. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't throw bleach on it or vinegar and all of a sudden the smell's gone.
They're still trying to clean up Russia. What's this, 1,000-mile in Russia when they actually go back in?
Chernobyl. Yeah, Chernobyl.
Yeah.
But guys, I want to throw this in real quick. I know we had heavy on the Olympics, but as a sidebar, if I could, it's a quick 2 minutes. For the Washington football team, they only have their owner, Daniel Snyder, give control to his wife, who he goes to bed with and breakfast every day for 6 months. That shows the NFL, number one, does not give a fuck about women. Number two, all those women that put their lives on the line, literally, and their livelihood for that report, the NFL shows me right there that they know they're going to make good guys for money. And they do not want to cash cow. to be upset by these owners.
Well, Mike, I'm gonna make a prediction.
Yes.
All of a sudden, by the time whatever starts, all of a sudden they're gonna have a new name. You watch.
Yeah. I would say that's a fair bet. As a matter of fact,
yeah.
Tony, that's a trading places bet. I got my dollar. So
Gary, give me 50 cents, Gary.
Mike, you don't mind.
Yes.
Mike, you don't mind if my dollar has Cesar Romero on it, do you?
Wait a minute, is that the Joker? But having said that, okay, so the official bet is before the kickoff of the National Football League 2021 season, the Washington football team will have a name. That's the bet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can I just add this as a friendly amendment? They call the training facility the Wolf Pack.
Ah.
I just thought I'd put that tidbit in there. They call it the Wolf Pack.
Hail
That's what they
the
call
wolf
it.
Pack.
And red wolves.
Guys, if we keep this up, if we keep this up with all this growling and whatever in the background,
no shit, be like,
Peter's gonna be calling our ass.
We're all gonna get reassigned. That's what's gonna happen.
They're
gonna commit all of us.
Yeah, Peter's gonna call us, and I'm not talking about Peter Griffin either.
They weren't supposed to go to the plane. Damn it, they unveiled the plane. We got to get them out of here. You don't even steal y'all shit. Damn. I guarantee you, ESPN again is gonna steal y'all shit again. Give them 2 days, and I'm gonna get them.
Well, it's a long weekend. Mike, it's a long weekend. That's why they can't. That's why it's going to take them a couple of days.
But Tony is right. Now, look what they're doing. Shakari Richardson, by rights, will probably, in all honesty, in an open market or an open event, she should win at least 3 golds. Should.
Yep.
But we know the glamour feature event, and deliberately keep her out of that. She runs relay, she'll get some get back in the relay, but you know, that was the whole point.
Yeah.
The 100 meters is the marquee event. You do that, you're the fastest man/woman, theoretically, on Earth.
Now, here's the thing.
I have never heard anybody banned for an event. They're either going to ban – now, they either need to ban her for the entire Olympics –
yeah,
or
they're banning her for an event.
No one is condoning her doing the wacky tobacco. But see, here's what's very, very interesting. We all know how marijuana is now looked upon as a business now. What is it, 19 states where it's legal? Now, look, I get it. The question I'm asking is, I go back to what Mike said. If she is blonde haired, blue eyed, she would have an endorsement deal with all of these marijuana related places by now.
Don't forget freckles on them.
Look, you know what? I'd be willing to bet that they would sell bandanas with a fucking marijuana weed on a marijuana plant make some money off of it.
And again,
if you look at the industry as a whole, surprise, surprise, when you see black folks trying to get in this industry, they are met with all sorts of ridicule and scorn.
Who's the former House Speaker that was condemned and now he's a part of it? Oh, Orange Man, Mr. Orange Man?
Yeah.
This guy's making a killing on.
The thing about this is it's not even about the Olympics anymore. They've made it. They literally and figuratively have made it personal with her. Because, again, I've heard when you get banned from the Olympics, you're supposed to be banned for the whole thing.
That's exactly right.
Again.
It's the whole games are not at all.
Did I miss something there?
I'm telling you now, a couple of guys in California, there's a protest.
I want to make sure that I'm correct here. She was banned for her event, but not for the Olympics. Am I correct?
Just for the event.
She can run the relay.
Well, no. It does make sense if you got something else in mind, because think about you only got two people in the lane. You're talking about the whole world. Somebody from somewhere is going to try to make a statement about this. They have to run the heat to get there.
Hey.
You got all them sisters from all them Aggie sisters waiting to get in there and get their moment, because you know they ain't going to get it nowhere else.
Yeah.
The story will be Richardson's downfall. It won't be the uplifting of the Aggie sisters. We know this. They're not marketing this. The only black athlete that we can guarantee will get some sort of positive pub will be Simone. And that's because they need her little black ass.
And Mike, let's see what happens as it's going on, because I don't trust them.
I got 50 cents. They're gonna go after Simone Biles. I got 50 cents. I raise your dollar.
Well, put it this way. Frank Gorshin is on my quarters, so, it's up to you.
Let's be real. Simone Biles, if we got to backtrack, Simone Biles has been on top for the last 7 years.
Seven years in a row.
So when she comes in there, the judges will have the attitude of, well, she's not super negress.
We know the mouse
with their big dastardly ways will be salivating at the opportunity to catch Simone.
They wait.
Flat footed. You know they wait.
They wait.
Oh, please.
Let
Simone not hit that balance beam right. Let her get off the pommel horse wrong. Or have her vault and somehow injure her ankle or something like that. They will be in the crack of her black ass in a heartbeat. We know they're doing it.
They tried with her brother. It didn't work.
It's amazing. It's amazing how far they'll go to mess even a little bit of something up. But again, it's par for the course. But see, again, this is why I've been going back and forth. Because see, the sports fan in me, I'm looking forward to the Olympics. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
But that other guy is like, man, I don't want no part. I mean, I can't wash. I can have 8 baths in 8 days and still can't get the stench of this game's off.
That's right. Look, the IOC has set this up to be the birthplace of politics. When all these people talk shit about, well, we can't have sports in politics, that shit is political from Jump Street. You can't get more political than the Olympics. You can't get more political than Hitler trying to pull the shit he did in 36. And fucking Avery Brundage and his racist ass trying to sabotage the brothers and sisters in Mexico in 68. Now, I'm not saying the Japanese have malintentions regarding wanting to bollock this up.
Mm-hmm.
Their main purpose may be just to make money. And
yeah.
Recently, Naomi Osaka said she will play on behalf of Japan. And we're happy for little sis. But we know the animus that a lot of Asian folks have toward black people. And they may not carry the black athletes, but in an open event like this where everybody's competing, you know if there's anything where something has to be judged,
mm-hmm.
brothers and sisters don't catch hell. And that
right.
especially yep. goes to sports like swimming, where they were never supposed to be there. What? You
mm-hmm.
got black swimmers? Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and
Mike,
with the soul cap, oh, well, you know, that soul cap's illegal. It makes them go faster. We got to get rid of all them shit. We got these
mm-hmm.
niggas in here on
mm-hmm.
the pool.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I'm not one to repeat gossip. You need to hear that shit right the first time. But it's the sort of thing where we know that there is, you know, it's beyond them trying to recoup the money that they lost from the last from having the Olympics
right.
happen a year later.
Yeah,
it's a lot. It's
mm-hmm.
a deal because see, they're slowly trying to get back to the political table on a global scale because, let's face it, you know, whether you want to believe it or not, there's still a majority of people in the world that thought that. That people that either look like them or have
mm-hmm.
the same political values as them was the cause of this coronavirus. That's playing into this as well. But the thing is,
mm-hmm.
they're playing the same stereotypes that they are playing those same stereotypes that number one have been played for years. That were ultimately still being played on them. You would think
oh, yeah.
that they would take a step back and say, you know what, we need to stop this mess. But see,
exactly.
they think just like just to bring it all full circle, they think like Snyder. You know, you would think
yeah,
that
yeah.
being a Jewish person would be sensitive to what the name was, but no,
exactly.
no, it was like no. And again. Exactly. And he didn't wake up and have an epiphany. They took from his pocket. And that's when all
that's
of a sudden,
right.
okay, I give.
Yeah,
but see,
exactly.
that's the thing here. You mm-hmm. know, there's so many people, they're so caught up right now, and I can't blame them to a certain extent. They're caught up in, we got to make this work from hell or
yeah.
high water. And they're just looking at the, you know, the safety of the athletes, hell, man, that's just collateral damage.
That's exactly right. I don't think anybody's ever died in an Olympics, but
well, other than
it's
you know,
at
I guess
the level.
You know, technically you could do you no know, unless you're not unless you throw out I guess the whole thing at 72.
Yeah, with the Munich situation.
Yeah.
Forgive me.
Uh-huh.
But having said that. We're not talking about on the field stuff. We're talking about
the
underneath political shit that's going on with everything that's happened. You know, and how can you make this any more political? Everybody's talking about all this, and they're not considering the fact that they shouldn't have had it in Japan at all, given what happened in Fukushima. We've seen what could happen here years ago with Three Mile Island. Now, it didn't go China syndrome and blow up and, you know, turn out like Chernobyl, but we were lucky. You know, Chernobyl, that was a combination of bad luck, mismanagement, and other things that put them in that situation. But that just as easily could have been Three Mile Island. We have not run into a global disaster that has immediately affected us on American soil. Japan has. I mean, we're not even talking about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but they have. So you would think that the mindset would be better.
I got to correct you, Mike. We do have a tragedy.
Please.
That's called racism and black extermination.
Well, yeah.
That's what we have
in
this country.
Genocide's ongoing. Okay, we deal with the fact that genocide is ongoing. So, yeah, you're right about that. I stand corrected. But for an event like this where, you know, your design is to put your best foot forward and eschew any notions that something bad will happen or something negative will go on and it'll be the spirit of competition, that bullshit's been going on for a long-ass time. And we know Japan's not going to do anything to stop that. And we know NBC will help them because there's too much money at stake.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? This I have a question for you guys. The next event will be in Beijing. Beijing has a strict policy that you cannot say anything against the government.
There you go.
Now, we know Americans have already stated about Beijing's free speech movement and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't see any problem because these athletes are not going to get quiet. Now, what are they going to do? What are they going to do between war?
Well, you know, my answer to that, Gary, is homegirl who turned away from the flag at the trials. There's your answer. There's your answer. But see, don't think that didn't play, because see, she happened to be a track athlete too as well. Am I correct?
Yeah.
That wasn't again. So again, if everybody's thinking, you know, that they're just throwing this up to that. Okay, she tested dirty. She's wrong. She needs to get punished.
Grand Poobah, I have a question, Grand Poobah. Maybe I'm Boo Boo the Fool, but you know, maybe I'm Boo Boo the Fool.
Boo Boo,
I don't
understand. Red. How much of a fool can Boo Boo be? He's already brought up two questions. He's got to know what the hell's going on now after a while, you know?
Hey, all I'm saying is that it amazes me when somebody does a non-violent act and turn away from the flag, but when people go January 6th and I'm going to beat this horse to that bitch is red in the ass.
Oh, absolutely.
You got
absolutely.
Congress people saying these were people who were on a sightseeing tour. It's nothing here. These same bastards are laying up in the fucking floor with Secret Service back in their ass.
You know what?
And the cops getting killed. Maybe I missed something.
But Mike, motion to change Boo Boo the Fool to any congressman or congresswoman, because to me that's a lot more relevant, because Boo Boo gets a really bad rap.
You put Miss Green in that. That's too good. Miss Green. Put her ass in that.
Put it this way. Boo Boo the Fool sounds more like Stokely Carmichael now than some of these assholes.
You're right about that shit.
Hey, T, is that with the pistol in the cab or without the pistol in the cab?
You know what? Because I respect him so much, give him that stick. Give him that stick. Give him that stick.
You know what? As a matter of fact, we should not even consider Boo Boo in this situation at all. As of right now, he is going to be promoted.
Oh, God.
Presenting his most royal majesty,
the
king.
A black man with sound effects is a terrible person to deal with.
The king.
He's a Rhode Island.
The
king.
Your majesty. Sheriff of Nottingham, in gratitude for your favor, I shall knight thee.
Your
knock
most gracious majesty.
Knock his ass.
In the name of my most royal majesty,
king.
I knight thee.
Here it comes.
Arise, sirloin of beef. Arise, earl of clothes. Arise, Duke of Brittingham. Arise, Baron of Monkshelden. Arise, Essence of Myrrh, Duke of Magnesia, Lord of Kem.
You are too kind, Your Majesty.
London Bridge is falling down.
London Bridge is falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
The magnesia line gets me all the time. I can't. Milk of magnesia is about some of the nastiest stuff.
Yeah. That is some nasty shit.
I would rather have castor oil and paint chips than milk and magnesia.
Yeah, that is some nasty shit.
Yes, sir.
So sirloin and beef as a first world decree.
Every time he danged his ass, he was. Oh, that shit was funny. Hey, look, they talking about the violence in TV. Look at the violence between Popeye and Bugs Bunny. They were whooping ass like them day and time. It was unfreaking real, man.
Yeah.
Tom and Jerry.
I'm so jealous of you guys. Y'all have too much fucking fun. I'm so jealous.
Hey.
I want a
you
show.
Can't get more.
I want a show.
You can't get much more violent than Tom and Jerry. And hell, Popeye put a cap in one of his best friends. And I'm not talking about
Between Wimpy and Bruto killing them hamburgers, boy, good God, I'm like, let's talk about the ass.
That's a Maury show.
I was fucking everybody that walks, and nobody's saying nothing about it because she had two motherfuckers ripping each other's ass over 50 years of her little now ass. Oh, Popeye! And nobody realizes that Wimpy was the one.
I mean, oh, Popeye!
Wimpy and Sleepy look like father and son. If they were in paternity court, all of a sudden he'd be coming out of nowhere with a hamburger in his mouth that he is the father.
Stop the press. Who's this baseball player that beat up on a woman ain't nobody talking about? Some baseball player, some pitcher.
Trevor Bauer.
Yeah. What the hell is going on with this guy?
Oh,
it's you know.
That reminds me. Before we get into Trevor Bauer, we got to drop this one on you because, we talk about images all the time, and the image that you're gay in a professional sport is always one that leaves one to question. Now, one of Gary's favorite players, Mr. Nassib, plays for the Oakland Raiders. Oh, excuse me, Los Angeles Raiders.
Keep going. That's why he had did it in Oakland. That's why he did it in Vegas.
Well, no. It's more than that. Think about this. Because this kid, Nassib, and it could well be he's saying Nassib because he's saying it to anglicize it so it doesn't sound as authentic or ethnic as it does, has been playing for the Raiders now for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He has always been on the down low as far as being quiet about what he does, and because of it, nobody ever gave him any shit about anything. So he's been doing this for a while. Carl Nassib has been at this, and he's doing his thing. He's playing well, and this wouldn't even be an issue if he couldn't play. If he couldn't play, we would not have this conversation. So he's been in the league for a while. He's done his thing, and then he decides, you know what? I'm going to come out. And okay, he's doing all right. He's making money. He was claimed off waivers in 18 by the Tampa Bay Bucks, and then he ended up signing a 3-year, $25 million contract, including $16.75 million of it guaranteed with the Raiders.
Guaranteed.
Exactly.
Now, his father, he also played college football at the University of Delaware, and he's going to be coming in with his another relative coming into the mix. But he went out of his way to say that, you know, I'm gay. I'm the first active gay NFL player that will announce it, because gay goes back to at least as far as 71 and Copé with the 49ers. But look at the comparison between him and what happened in the 2014 draft with Michael Sam. Now, nobody will admit it, but Oprah got this kid twisted, and he should have sued her ass for what was done, because everybody knew he was gay. He came out of college gay. He ended up on talk shows with his father out there, and you know his father didn't want to be out there. You know, it's one thing if you're doing what you're doing, you're putting your family out there. Now it's like, oh, shit. And, of course, on the last day of the draft, ESPN, the fucking mouse, has cameras at his house, and he's the last pick, pretty much, close to last, in that draft. And what does he do? Oh, baby, I'm so happy. And he's French kissing his partner on national TV. Now, any agent worth their salt would have said, Mike, you can't do that shit. These are some very conservative cats we're dealing with. You got to keep your shit on the down low, you know, and just go about shit quietly. As soon as he was selected, all of a sudden, Oprah Winfrey and her little funky snake ass is involved, talking about reality shows and all kinds of strange shit that ain't got nothing to do with being in training camp and handling your business. Meanwhile, Nassib, or NASA, whatever you want to call himself, you know, he'll play out his contract, and when he finishes his contract, he'll be vested. He'll have his pension. There won't be any hark hallelujahs or anything like that, but if he's doing his job, nobody gives a fuck. Nobody gives a fuck he's gay. The bottom line is Michael Sam, because he was a fucking flamer, jeopardized his own future, and there's nobody to blame but himself. Instead of thinking about fucking Oprah, he should have been thinking about lifting them weights and getting out there trying to make the team. He let that whole shit carry too far, and the LGBT, LONOP, whatever fucking alphabet's left community, is also at fault with this, because they were trying to push this, and they wanted the media to push this. But
okay, Michael,
now
Michael,
he's broken out on the street, he's screwed.
Michael, how did President Obama get elected second term?
Mm-hmm. Gay folks.
President Obama said, okay, LBGQ, L, whatever else you want to call it.
No, Big G, shots fired, Big G, shots fired. Oh, boy.
Again, they're picking and choosing. And they need with this anti-Asian stuff, okay?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where is there a black bill for this? You don't see it anywhere, but you see all this anti-Asian stuff on TV. See, America got to stop fooling around. Stop.
America knows exactly what it's doing, and that's exactly why Michael Sam's not playing in the NFL now. Because it wasn't a question of whether he could play. He was one of the best players in his conference. But he thought, based on the information he got, which was bad information, that it would be just a feather nor fig, and next thing you know, he's on a roster. No. They don't want somebody who's out there flaming.
That's right.
Now, there's been gay players in football since forever. And there was one who was playing for the 49ers, who ended up losing his job because he got in a hissy fit with somebody in a Chinese restaurant over fucking soy sauce. But the point is, if you're cool with your shit, don't nobody care? Don't nobody know? Don't nobody need to know? You know, NASA did that. And then when he came out, he said, you know, he gave the impression like, hey, man, I'm Carl. I'm just like any other dude and shit, except I'm gay. You know, I play ball. And that's that. And they let it be. They let it be because he's not rocking the boat, you know. And so it helps that he's got the complexion for the protection. But, yes, he's not going to rock the boat. He's going to go in there and be a good teammate, play as best as he can. And when his contract is done, he may get another contract. He may not. The bottom line, when he finishes that contract, he'll be set because his pension will be in. And no matter what they do, he'll get paid. I ain't mad with him. Listen, let him get his. But see, it's all in the methodology. So Miles always said, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. If Michael Sam had taken a similar tack, he wouldn't have put himself in jeopardy.
He'd be playing today.
Yeah, he'd be playing now. At the very least, he would be a substitute, a special teamer on somebody's squad. But because he wanted to make it out that he was like that and didn't understand the real depth of the consequences, Oprah Winfrey's never going to apologize for that. She's never going to say she was wrong for doing that. Because as soon as he mentioned that name, I'm like, you fucking idiot. You know, that black man-hating motherfucker ain't going to do nothing on your behalf. And that truth, that proved out to be true. But, you know, don't let the facts get in the way of a fucking reality story.
Michael, I got the Cove.
Yes, sir. Please give us a preview. Give us a preview of the Cove.
Well, the high school in California got suspended for throwing tortillas at the other team. They got a year, 2 years suspended. I'm gonna follow up on that.
Holy shit!
My question to you guys is this: why are you throwing food at another team? That's the first question. You're wasting damn food. That's the first thing.
Well, they were throwing tacos and shit, right? It's supposed to be like an insult?
Yes. What do you do? And number two, you're a 16, 17-year-old. You know better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But that's the problem, man.
I go back to the question. What are your parents not one single radio or TV station.
No, and they wouldn't. But why should we be surprised at that? We know this type of thing has come down the pike before. And we also know that no matter what they do, any kind of recourse or redress will fall far short. I mean, you're wasting food by throwing tacos in the first motherfucking place.
Yep.
That's supposed to be an aside to insult Latinos? Jeez. You know, that's disgusting.
But Michael, this country is setting itself up for a complete disaster. I'm telling you. You
should not be surprised. We should not be surprised at this. We should not be surprised at this. If we have to spin off on that and talk about voting rights and how they're trying to stop people from voting.
Yes,
this is a continuation of what we've always spoke on here. The world's getting darker. The policies are going to reflect that, especially when it comes to repressing people or stopping people from their human rights. Because the majority is already in effect. We know this worldwide, but now it's going to be visibly even more so in the next decade. There'll be a lot more black and brown folks and a lot more white folks pissed about it. So all of these things, whether they come out full bore to front to folks or whether they just start becoming thoughts in the back of their minds, ultimately, that's what this is. The world's getting darker, and there are people who will do anything, I mean anything, to stop that. They'll try to stick their fingers in the dike for as long as possible, but they're going to run out of fingers and toes, and then the next thing you know, the dam is going to burst.
Yep, that's right. Later, guys.
All right, my brother. At the top of the hour, Gary Norris Gray and the Gray Lipper Code, 646-727-3649. Reggie, give us some wisdom. What do you say about all of this?
Well, once again, I wish Cheryl was on with me. I love my queen to death, but the fucking Democrats have stolen our votes. And you got black leadership like James Clyburn, and I was the only one that got the balls is Maxine Waters, and that's a damn shame. What I see again is a bunch of kingmakers who got blackface, who just want their piece of the pie and really don't want to stand up like a Corky Carmichael or the former mayor of Jackson or even Representative Young. Why is it again that we put black leadership in positions, including Al Sharpton and others, who do the bidding of the Europeans? Isn't it funny that the vice president now is in charge of immigration and you barely see her on TV anymore? She's been ushered off to the side. And Mike, you called it. You called it, Mike. I got to give credit to Nickel Diamond Points. Biden did not want that beautiful black queen with an Afrocentric fro from Georgia on that ticket. He wanted the easy softball European, Asian, black, or whatever the hell she is, to do the bidding. And once again, we got hoodwinked. We got bamboozled. We got led astray. Too many people are losing their lives, and too many economic situations are coming out of our community. Damn it, it's time to stand up, man, because I'm 62. My time is more behind than in front. But these young folks got to start standing up because they're doing everything they can to strip our rights away, and that's everybody.
That's right. Well said, Reggie. Thank you. We're going to head over to the Cove as soon as he converts. But for now, just a reminder for everybody to appreciate everybody that's kinfolk. Don't even have to have skin folk. All they have to have is the distorted notion that they think they're better than everybody else.
That man is in the name of the Lord.
Saying God's gonna bless you. Yeah.
In the name of the Lord. You know, they will let white folks make a movie about any goddamn thing. Look at Hollywood. Scissorhands, give me a fucking break. Somebody is on crack. Somebody's smoking a pipe at the studio. Somebody at the studio is smoking crack. Scissorhands, throw mama from the train. Only white folks can throw their mama from a damn train, and it's a hit fucking movie. Ain't that some crazy shit? Throw mama from the goddamn... What's the other thing? White men can't jump. They don't have to. They own the team. Some white man at the bank right now. Ooh, my niggas are jumping. Oh, jump, nigga. White daddy make you jump. Jump. Oh, jump. Single white female. They'll let white folks make a movie about any fucking thing. But I knew they were crazy when they let them make Driving Miss Daisy. In the 90s, Driving Miss Daisy. Fuck Miss Daisy. I will walk before I drive some goddamn Miss Daisy. Some old Jewish woman, I'll take a bagel and beat the shit out of Miss Daisy. This is the 90s. I'll drive that bitch to an alley and rob her. I will do a carjack. Miss Daisy be on the fucking bus. She fuck with me. See, a lot of you are relating, but a lot of white folks are not laughing. They're holding back because they love that tar baby, Aunt Jemima, let's go back bullshit. Oh, me dating that, love it. Fuck that. I don't like that cooning, happy slave bullshit. See, you're white. You can go back. Back to the Future. They like all that shit. You can skip on back. Your little ass is white. I go back. I can only go back so far. Then my black ass is in chains. Fuck you. I'm not going back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Come on, nigga. Come on back. Come back to Jamaica. Come on. No, I'm going to stay here in the 90s where I can tell you to kiss my black ass. I didn't like the ending of that movie. In the rest home, he's feeding it. Oh, you my best friend. I said, look, poison this bitch so I can go home and get some sleep. What they going to do? Let Spike Lee write and direct part two? Driving Miss Daisy some more? But my favorite, I have to confess, I swear, don't tell anybody, Lassie. I love that fucking Lassie. Was that a smart dog? God damn, that dog was smart. Remember how Lassie used to start? That was Lassie whistling. That dog was smart, wasn't it? And then they talk to Lassie like Lassie was a person. You know, they just, white folks talk to Lassie like they grew up. Lassie, hey, Lassie. Hi, girl. How's your mom? Oh, Lassie. I love you. Call me in an hour, Lassie. I mean, talk to fucking Lassie. I saw one episode where Grandpa drove him somewhere, remember, and had a heart attack. Lassie drove him to the hospital and made a left turn. I said, God damn, Lassie, this is a smart fucking dog. Lassie got dogs killed. I had a little mixed ghetto dog. I must have hit that dog in the head with a hammer. I said, motherfucker, if Lassie can do it, you go do it. I said, you better talk back. I'm going to give you to the Vietnamese family. I bet they'll make your ass talk. You'll holler for help. I bet they'll make you talk. But that lasted. And then one episode, they got burglarized. They said, oh, girl, what did they take, girl? What? Were there any niggers? Any dark one girls? Any real dark ones? That black girl? Make out the police report, Lassie. I used to always like put, you know, your race because you're black into movies. I always thought Frankenstein was a nigga. No, because all the white folks were always chasing Frankenstein. Right? Get him! Get him! He was always running like a nigga. And he grunted like niggas. And when he catch him, he's just like a nigga. He'd whoop their ass. Like I threw motherfuckers all over the place. I said, get him, nigga. He steals shit, remember? And then white people were scared of him like they're scared of niggas. Oh, what's that? What was that? Niggas behind it to them? That shit used to fuck me up. I'm sorry. He'd be trying to catch that nigga, wouldn't he? Some crazy wild shit. No, that's why I can't get ready for the shit. The movies are crazy. White films, I'm sorry, white folks, it's crazy shit. One thing in Hollywood, they don't like black men and they don't like white women. You white women here, some of you are uncle women, so you know what I'm talking about. But the ones that are up on the shit, you know the game. You watch the movies come out of Hollywood, what they think of white women. They don't give a fuck about a white woman. They put you with freaks. Beauty and the Beast. Come on, that's bestiality. A white woman with a fucking monster. I know a monster when I see one. Oh, it's his insides. Fuck that. That's a fucking lion. Have a white lady fucking him all night and shit. Come on. Don't take your kids to see that shit. 4 or 5 years from now, your kid will be in the kitchen fucking the dog singing. Beauty and the Beast. Sick shit. King Kong. They ran to get that white woman. Oh, get a white woman. She'll fuck that big gorilla. Get a white woman. Princess and the Frog. Oh, get a pretty white woman. Get a frog. That's freak shit. And a fucking frog. Elephant Man. I love you. White lady. Swamp Thing. White woman. I love you. The fly. Big old green eyes. Throwing. Get a white woman. I love you. Sick shit. That's sick white shit. Put a black woman in these movies and see don't the dialogue change. Put a black lady in The Fly. You big-eyed motherfucker. You'll never buzz on this pussy. I bet when I get this black flag, you get the fuck out of my face. Swamp Thing, you better get your ass back in them pot of greens. I ain't through cooking them greens. Frog, Elephant Man, Lion, get your ass in the car. We're going to the zoo to find you somebody, because ain't a goddamn thing happening here. But they just give the white woman dumb lines. I love you. They don't give a fuck about the white lady. If they ain't raping a white lady, if they ain't sexual, if they don't have you fucking everything in the movie, then they chopping your head off. White women aren't safe in a dream. If you fall asleep, Freddy gets after your ass. Freddy gets after you. You cannot be safe in a goddamn dream. And then you guys wonder why the serial killer wants you. He goes to the movie, and the movie says, kill the white woman. In fact, kill about 50 of them. That's some cold shit. And it's the deal. I get a little carried away because, fuck it, it's real. But that's why I can't watch television because it's too wild. Because they got crazy shit on Star Trek, the new generation. Who's writing this futuristic stuff for black folks? Who's writing this? One nigga's blind, the other one like his mother fucked a turtle. Who's writing this? Whoopi Goldberg running around looking like a fugitive from a pancake box. Who's writing this shit?
That will take us to the top of the hour. At the top of the hour, Gary Norris Gray and the Great River Cove. Check him out, 646-727-3649 as we continue the discourse. Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Cool and the Gang is classic R&B. We'll take over at the Music Box, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 on the Pacific Coast, and then following up at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, the Music Therapy Mind Stream as we continue our Ice Blueberry Tea Sets, put on some more classic R&B for you to hear and us to see. So See you later. Go safe, stay safe, be safe. For all of us here at the tree, ciao for now.